I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be what it says I can be. I can have what it says I can have. I can give what it says I can give. I can learn what it says I can learn. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go with me to the book of Luke this morning. And we're going to talk about the price of Christmas in the book of Luke. Inasmuch as many have taken in the hand to set in order the narrative of those things which have been fulfilled among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word delivered them to us. It seemed good to me also, having a perfect understanding of all the things from the very first, to write to you an orderly account, most excellent Theophilus, that you may know certainly of those things in which you were instructed. And let me stop right there and say this. When we're talking about the price of Christmas, there's, you know, God wants to birth something through you. For instance, He birthed this church through me. When I was a young pastor, preacher, not real a lot of experience, I was always faithful to walk through the doors. Every time God would open a door for me, it's really important that you are willing to walk through the door. Just like with Dorothy and Eric this morning say, we can put this skit on to give you a picture. That was an opportunity they had, and it took time out of their schedule. But still, they took that opportunity to use their gifts to communicate by acting in skits. And so through that, there was a skit birth today because somebody took their time and talent to do that. Now, with Luke, he gives us perhaps the greatest insight of any... Am I buzzing? Back mic still on? Okay. And Luke took time because I believe that God wanted to birth the Christmas story through him. And then we go over to Matthew, and he gives a little bit of the genealogy, and then he talks about Joseph and what he went through more than what Mary and Zach and all. But Luke's pretty detailed in what he did. And then you go to, have you ever tried to look for the birth in Mark and John? It's not there. And probably their attitude was, because of their makeup and what God wanted to do through them, so the kid was born. We were all born. So he's a baby. They burp and they poop. So let's get on to the real stuff. And so he goes into ministry. Both of them start with ministry. And somebody might say, well, you know, they left off the birth, and how do we know? And well, he did that through somebody else. And so what I'd like you to think about this morning as we're talking about the price of Christmas is, what is it that God wants you to do, and realize that everybody's not made up like you are. What might interest you will not interest somebody else. What talents they have, it won't interest you at all. But is it any less important that they do their part? No. It's just as important as your part. We talked about that in our prayer meeting this morning, and how I've got a little bracelet here I'm going to tell you about at the end of the service. If I forget, remind me, say, the bracelet, Pastor, the bracelet. But I want to talk to you about this and just when we close. But everybody won't get excited about this, but some may, and I want to give you opportunity to get excited about this. But my point is this. When we're talking about Christ birthing something through you, and the price that was paid to bring his birth, what I want you to remember is this, that everybody has different parts, and they're all important. Just because you're not passionate about it or you don't get excited about it doesn't mean it's any less important. I appreciate the choir this morning leading us in Christmas songs and something that we all grew up on, and feeling that tradition, and families getting up and talking about the coming of Christ and the birth and the importance, and you being here to listen and to support. Everybody's playing a part this morning. And so with Luke, Dr. Luke, he'll get pretty detailed in his information. Matthew won't get quite as detailed, and he'll focus on Joseph and what he went through more instead of the birth and all those kind of things. But the thing I want you to remember is every part of it's important. It's all important. And whatever it is that God's trying to birth through you is really important. Some of the choir members talking about this morning, how that we need to reach out this holiday season. And however you want to express that through you, the teens has raised several hundred dollars so they can express Jesus' love through giving back to the community. That's a great work. It's a great work. And some of you supported that with your attending the Thanksgiving dinner they prepared. And so you're a part of that. And whatever it is that's your part, here's the key. Just don't miss out on doing your part, because it's important. But it will be different from everybody else's. And so just give God praise for whatever anyone else is doing and enjoy your part as we go through the holiday season. Then verse 5, he said, there was in the days of Herod the king of Judah a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. Matthew also mentions Abijah in his genealogy. And I want you to notice that he said his wife was of the daughters of Aaron and her name was Elizabeth. And so probably this is the same Abijah that was mentioned in Matthew. And God keeps really accurate records. And I want to talk to you at some point, probably next week, about how God brought these generations down and how he brought your generations down so you would be exactly made up as you are. You're fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God. God doesn't make junk and there's no mistakes. You're created through careful planning of every person in your lineage. And so every person is thought out. Whether, how many says, well, you know, if you go back and climb my family tree, it's pretty colorful. Well, I want to tell you, God knows about all these colorful pasts that some of us have. And he even decides to write some of that, and so to show us that, you know what, I even use people like that. So there's hope for all of us. And then he says in verse 6, and they were both righteous before God, walking in all commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. Now, they had walked for many years, and they were blameless before the Lord. That's really key. In keeping ourselves blameless before the Lord. Because here's what I believe. As we're going around doing what God has called us to do and we're walking a blameless life, doesn't mean we don't ever mess up. It simply means that, you know what, when we do mess up, we know who to go to. We don't pursue the sin, we pursue the Savior. We pursue the Redeemer, the one that can free us from the sin. And we recognize it. And if you need to, make yourself accountable to someone because something's got a hold on you. And say, I want to confide in you as a friend. And I want you to be my accountability partner in this area. And I want you to ask me questions if you need to. And find someone to help you, if that's the case, get free from that sin. And then we confess our sin. Dennis was talking about this morning where God has brought him from and what he struggles with. And all of us struggle with some area. All of us struggle in areas. And if you don't struggle in areas, it's probably because you're doing nothing. You're not a threat to the kingdom. You know, you're not a threat in any kingdom. Satan's kingdom, the kingdom of God, you're not going to make a difference. Because any time we're making a difference for the Lord, how many knows there's some battles to fight? All that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So, you know, we all have records, and but they were walking blameless before the Lord. And it says in verse 7, but they had no child because Elizabeth was barren and were both well advanced in years. Now, I want to show you something real quick. Let's see. Laren, come here. Miss Ann, come here. Yeah, you, come here. Now, how many knows God did not have a board meeting when he came to picking John and Jesus' parents? There's no record of him having a board meeting. But let's just pretend, so I can give you a mental picture, that God had a board meeting and he's going to decide which parents we're going to pick for John and Jesus. And let's pretend, how many can still know, you still know how to pretend, let me see, yeah. Let's pretend that here's the board meeting and we're a part of the board meeting and God says, Ladies and gentlemen on the board, this morning what we're going to discuss is we're going to pick parents for John and Jesus. Now, and he shows us a picture. You know, if we can do video, how many knows God could do video way back then? Way before, because when, in fact, remember when Star Wars came along and they stand on a spot and they go, and they're gone, they're translated somewhere else. How many knows Jesus was on the cross and went, way before Star Wars? And he said, this day you shall be with me in paradise. And so, and then he appeared to John and them, and then he'd disappear, and then he'd come. And so he was doing that long before. So the technology, you say, wasn't there. Well, it was there, okay? He had to, this day you'll be with me in paradise, wherever that is. Some say it's centered there, wherever it was. But let's just say he brings these two images before you as the board that's going to pick Jesus and John's parents. And he says to you, ladies and gentlemen, this is what I thought. This is Laren Ferguson. She's got a good upbringing. Her daddy's a little ornery, you know, and her mama's kind of crazy. But she's a good girl. She's a good girl. And I thought about what we'd do is make her the mother of Jesus. Is there any questions? I would have a question. Would you have a question? My first question might be, how old is she? Just exactly. Oh, well, she's a teenager, but we need a virgin. So, you know, I'm going to pick one young, you know. Is there any other questions? Would you have a question, perhaps, if this was the image that God said, this is going to be the mother of Jesus? Now, let's say that you're on the board, and you're the mother of the 14-year-old. How old are you? 13-year-old. I'll ask the parents, would you have a question? If you were sitting there and all of a sudden you were on the panel and Laren appears before you, would you have a few questions and concerns? And would your blood pressure go up just a little bit? Because here's what you would think. You would think, Laren's going to be in charge of the Savior of the world? And then it would hit you, I'm going to be the Savior of the world's grandmother! And then it would hit you, you know, the magnitude of what God is asking of a teenage girl. And then he says, now here's her other choice. We have Ann Thompson over here, and Ann has been a faithful servant in the church for years and years and years and years and years. She's stable, she's steady, she's faithful. She's a prayer warrior, gets up every day, like 3 or 4 in the morning, has her prayer time with me. Ladies and gentlemen, here's your two choices. Which one will be the Savior's mother? How many would pick number one? You can't vote. That's probably what Mary said too. You know, I have an older sister. That's cute. How many would pick number two, Savior of the world? Yeah. Nothing personal. You just hadn't had the experience. And my point is this, in a board meeting, probably what one of the things I would say is, you know, we have like millions of people. Can we pick someone else? I would say, because Miss Ann, you know, she wanted a child and they prayed and it just didn't happen during that childbearing period. So, you know, we don't want to kill Miss Ann after all this, you know, and can't we pick somebody, maybe somebody that's not real good looking and they never could find a husband and they're still a virgin, but they do have some life experience or something. I mean, he's with me, you know. They just don't seem like likely people, if you just look at it in the natural, to say, Jesus' mother, John's mother. They're just not what you and I would probably perceive in a board meeting as prime candidates. Are you with me? Are you with me? Because Elizabeth, we saw some of her issues a while ago, you know. Are you kidding me, you know? That would have been great in my day, but, you know, this is going to be rough. And then when we get to Jesus' parents, it's like, we love you, Laren, but Savior of the world? If he gets up at 3 in the morning crying, what are you going to do? I don't know. I'll call my mama, you know. What are you going to do? And so I just wanted you to get a mental picture of probably what he was picking from. And because here's the key to this. God uses the most unlikely people to do the most extraordinary things on the planet. And here they are. Here's a couple of examples that God can use to accomplish His will. Thank you, ladies. And another key thing is, that's why God didn't have us in the board meeting. Because it would be a board meeting, it'd be a confused meeting. We'd be all walking out shaking our head. I hope he can pull it off. He's God, but I hope he pulls it off, you know. Because we just wouldn't understand how he could do such great things through the people that he uses. When he used you, what did he birth through you? He birthed the children's ministry. He birthed maybe a praise singer, a musician. He birthed a faithful member and pillar of a church. He birthed a gardener. What did he birth when he birthed something ministry through you? And I believe every person in here, he's got something he wants to birth through you. And sometimes, I think it was Jan talking about how unworthy she feels. And we all are unworthy except through the finished work of Jesus Christ. And that makes us worthy. None of your kids this Christmas probably will deserve or merit what they get. They will get what they get because they belong to you. And because you belong to Him, you get what you get. And you get to do what you do because you belong to Jesus. Whatever that is. Maybe some of you young ladies, it'll be, you know, your thing will be a homemaker. There's still young ladies that's their call and that's what they want to do and that's what they do for the rest of their life is homemakers. Now, a lot of you probably won't. You'll have careers and things. But I'm just telling you, you don't have to if God didn't call you to do the career thing. You can be a homemaker if you choose. And you get your finances in order. And you tell your young husband, you listen to me, we will have our finances in order. We're going to Dave Ramsey and you'll be there. And you'll listen. And we're going to get our budget in order. And we're not going to stress about money. And whether you do career or not, you ought to at least do that anyway. Where you got everything in. Because money sometimes is the greatest key for divorce. And so just getting everything in order so God can work through you. So he's walking before the Lord in the commandments. Ordinance blameless. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren. And they were both well advanced in years. So it was while they were serving as the priests before God in the order of his division. And you notice, here's another key thing. They were blameless before the Lord. The second key is this. They were serving God. They weren't retired in some retirement camp off twiddling their thumbs. They were still active in serving God. God comes to people that want to serve Him in the kingdom. God comes to people that are busy in doing God's bidding, regardless of what their age is. I got tickled at Charlotte last night. We were out eating. She was talking about this great gated community where there's shuffleboard and there's just, you don't mow your lawn, you don't do. And that just sounded so attractive to her. Anybody get busy and that just sounds real attractive to you, you know, just let everybody else do and you come in and out your little gate. And they have their own beauty shops and their own everything inside this little gated community. So you don't even have to get out. And that sounds kind of like the kind of community, you know, we'd all want to go into one of these days. But I just don't believe that's where God wants most of us. I believe God wants us right out there where we can touch sinners and people that need Jesus. And I'm not saying there's not people in retirement centers, nice retirement centers that need Jesus. And if that's where God calls you, that's okay. But Zach is still up and he's still busy doing what God called him to do. Don't stop serving God because that's the people he looks at and says, here, you're busy. Remember Jesus at 12? I must be busy about my Father's business. See, and then he never was slack in being busy about his Father's business all the way up to the cross in his last act. And so it's just important that you're busy about the Father's business if you want to receive the blessing and you want God to burst something through you. And let me tell you something. You want God to burst something through you. You know why? Because it's just marvelous when he does. Because He knows your makeup and your talents and your gifts. And when He bursts something through you, it's wonderful. You get excited about it. It ministers to you and it blesses others. When I go through our teaching and discipleship classes, I teach them in any type of ministry that is really God ordained, it'll have two things. It'll have fruitfulness and fulfillment. It'll have those two things in there. Fulfillment means that it just fulfills the heck out of you. It just, you know, when you get to do this, it's just wonderful. You get excited about it. But fruitfulness means it also blesses others. Because sometimes we get excited about stuff that don't bless others. And it's probably not a part of God's plan for you if it doesn't bless others. So check the fruit of it. Is it blessing you? And is it blessing somebody else? And often the simple illustration I give to the students is this. If I said, I just love to sing, but I sounded like this. Oh, little old town of Bethlehem. You know, you'd say, well, you know, and I'm just getting into it and swaying with the music and it's just hurting everybody's ears. How many know that wouldn't be a part of my calling? God just don't do that. He don't do that to us. So you need to say, you know, when I sing, does that bless you? You know, if you're unsure. Or whatever you're doing. See if there's some fruit in that as well. So, He's holy. He's walking in holiness through the finished work of Jesus Christ, not within Himself. And He is also doing what priests do. Verse 9, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people was praying outside the hour of incense. And so they have people that's outside praying, doing their part. And all you prayer warriors, listen, your part is just as important as anybody else's. What do you like to do? I love to pray. What do we need to pray about this week? And when you pray and lift up people, and you pray and lift up strategies that God has given us to win people and do and build a church, that's a vital part. There are people outside praying and they'll be blessed. There's people inside doing priest ministries and they'll be blessed. So whatever your part is, just be faithful and God blesses that just like He does everybody else's part. And then verse 11, then the angel of the Lord appeared to him standing on the right side of the altar of incense, and when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. How many says if I was standing in a room and an angel just appeared through the walls of the door, you might be a little startled. Amen. However, I like the concept. I think it would be so neat if every baby come equipped with its own angel that would tell you what they knew. I mean, he said that would have really been a blessing when we were training up our kids. I think it would just be so cool that just as soon as you know, even before you were pregnant, you say before you can get pregnant, you'll have a visit from an angel. I think that would be really cool if every baby came equipped with his angel. Now watch what he says. The angel said to him, do not be afraid. Well, Zach's old and he's startled. Zacharias, for your prayer is heard. And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son and you shall call his name John. It's a good name, isn't it, John? Yeah. So I think it would be pretty cool if you didn't have to worry and fuss with a family about what you're going to name the child. The angel will name your child. Wouldn't that be cool? He just assigned a name. Some of you mothers, no, it wouldn't. I can see some of you mothers, you sure? I don't really like that name. Can we name him? So he's arguing with an angel. But I think it would be so cool if they just came equipped with an angel and they'd tell you his name. And then not only did it tell him what the name of John would be, then he says this in verse 4, and you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. The second thing the angel would tell him that comes equipped with every baby is what kind of attitude you're going to have when you have this child. How many know sometimes we need an angel to tell us what kind of attitude we're going to have after they're born? You're going to be glad. Are you with me? You're going to be glad. Like the old saying, I wouldn't take $1 million for my baby or give you a nickel for another. That kind of tells our attitude about children. But he says, parents, Here's the name, and here's your attitude. You're going to have a good attitude. You're going to enjoy this, and you're going to enjoy it so much that other people around you is going to enjoy it as well. So I think that would be a great deal for an angel to come and tell us what his name is and what kind of attitude the parent's going to have. Verse 15, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. So now he's going to tell you what they like. Wouldn't that be neat if you just knew what your baby loved to eat and drink before they were born? You could just stock up. You could just go to Walmart and buy all the stuff because you already know in advance what your baby likes to eat and drink. That'd be a good deal, wouldn't it? Then he says this, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord. Verse 16, and he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And the last thing the angel would tell you, and I think this would really help us a lot. This is going to be their vocation. Wouldn't that be a blessing if the angel could come and say, this will be their vocation, and I know it will be because I put gifts and talents in them that they're going to be passionate about. Wouldn't that be so much easier? I see adults all the time. You know, I take some college courses, and I see them all the time. I say, what are you going to do? I don't know. Adults, what are you going to do with it? I don't know. I don't know. Well, what do you do? Well, right now I do this. Is this what you're passionate about? Is this what you... Well, not really. Wouldn't it be cool if God just sent an angel and said... He looked at my parents. He said, now I know you guys are from the country, born and raised in the country. You're going to have 7 children. And when Jack gets here, I want you to tell you something about Jack. Although you have no preachers in your family, he will be a preacher and a pastor. Huh? How many says when you were born, he would have had a different story for you and your family when it come to you? But wouldn't it have been neat if he could have just warned your parents about you? Oh yeah, you'd have been born because he done brought the message, you know. I mean, it's better than a pregnancy test. You're going to be born, you know. Wouldn't it be cool just to know? I mean, and then you could help them. You'd know which classes they need to take. You'd know which seminars to enroll them in. You'd know what all their passion was going to be about before they would. That would be key. Because I see parents and students struggle with what are they going to do when they get older. What is my kid? We have kids, adults with grown kids that we say, I wish they would find their niche. Anybody ever thought that? You know, I wish they would find their niche. So wouldn't it be neat if every kid came equipped with an angel that told us all this information? But they don't. But how many knows, just because they don't, it doesn't mean that your call and my call is any less important or that it's not there, because it is. God has something for you to do. And when you find it and you walk in it, it's wonderful. I said, when you find it and you walk in it, it's wonderful. Now, some of you say, well, I just don't know what I do. Well, listen, you may be on your job and you may just love what you do out in the world, working for Tinker or some company or for yourself. But you may just love it and you've got all kinds of gifts and talents that go along with it. You know, that may be what God called you to do. I think most of our teachers that are here, I think, are called. Because they got a passion to teach. It's not just teaching with them. It's I want to impart knowledge to students, and I want them to learn and to grow. And just like they're called and their vocation, I think there's bankers and there's nursery workers and there's all kinds. There's builders. God put the gift of craftsmanship in you. And there's all kinds of talents and things that God has put inside of you and you're passionate about, and you're a light to where you are. You're just a little carpenter light, like Jesus' dad was, Joseph.
Amen.
I used to think it was really neat that God used a carpenter. Yep. And then I thought about it and I thought, we skipped over a preacher to use a carpenter. What kind of deal is that? How many says, if Jesus, and here's my thinking, if Jesus was going to be born and he knows he's going to be a pastor and a teacher like he is, and then I think, other than the virgin birth thing, that Zach and Elizabeth would have been a much better choice because of all the years of wisdom and the knowledge and the clout that he had as a priest and he had gained over the years. They would have made a much better parent than Joe and Mary. But that's just logical thinking, and it goes against what God did, and so we know it's not right. And here's my point. Sometimes when we think about what God is wanting to do through us, we think, well, logically, here's my makeup, so this is probably what God would do through me. Not necessarily. Nobody in my family thought about me being a preacher. Nobody. Including me. I never thought that until one day I saw a preacher preaching, and as a young man, and I thought, that's cool. I didn't say anything to anybody, but I thought, that is cool. And I had a different look probably than most kids that were squirming in their seats, and they think, well, what is he doing? I wish he'd hurry up and get through. But that was part of my passion. And let me ask you this. What do you connect to when you see this or that going on around you in your world? Something you connect to. It's probably related to what God wants to birth through you. Because when you see this, some of you, you know, it's arts and crafts. We had this place yesterday had stuff everywhere in it. I mean, arts and crafts stuff. Hundreds and hundreds of pieces of arts and crafts all over this place and out in the room and down the hall and with little people that just had their hands in doing crafts and they knew how to put all this stuff together and they just, to them, that's what they love to do. They box it up and take it somewhere else and show everybody else, this is what I can do. This is what you need to help you. Jana brought home a bag of beans and I said, what is that? She said, this is, what do they call that meal?
Lucky
bean soup. I said, where'd you get that, Miss Donna? Aren't we lucky? I thought something, you know, I didn't know what it was. I didn't know you eat it because it's all colorful and it's got stuff. And she said, yeah, you just mix something in here and just pour this on there and poof, there you got a meal, you know. It's like, who thought of that and how did they, you know, but somebody did. And they were excited when they thought about the lucky bean soup.
Yeah, buddy.
And what are you excited about when you think about this? And I'm telling you, Christ wants to burst something through you. He wants to burst something. And it may be, you may seem like an unlikely candidate to everybody around you. But that really doesn't matter. When I started our church, I went through the 10th grade. That's as far as I went when I started our church. And I've got a lot more than that now. But when I started our church, and for years, I'd went through the 10th grade. In fact, I just can't get over this fact. I said, God, what if, I was praying, earnestly praying, what if somebody comes in our church that's smarter than me? And he just laughed. And I almost like I could hear heaven chuckle and say, everybody that comes in will be smarter than you. Go read where I was going to use the dumb to confound the wise or whatever it was. And I thought, well, that helps a little, I guess, you know. But that's truly how I felt because, you know, people come in that was teachers and we've had lawyers and even doctors came through. All I'm saying is this, you don't have to be qualified because God will qualify you.
Amen.
And then you can grow from there.
Amen.
I'm not far from a college degree now, but I didn't start there. And what if I'd have waited? We'd have never started our church. And so, what is it that God wants to birth through you this Christmas? And how unlikely are you? And how would you like more instructions and more information like He gave to them? But you know what? He usually don't give that much information. What He says is, will you go? Will you be available? And are you available now? Last night when we left here, or yesterday afternoon, some of the children's workers, Donna and I think Sharon, some of them were here, and they said, just lock us in because we're going to be here a while. And we went in and had dinner. And when we came back by, the lights were still on and they were still here talking about ministry. After a long day of being here and doing all their crafts and stuff. See, none of you knew that, but you know who knows it? God knows it. God knows it. He knows every hour and every minute you spent doing God's bidding. And it's all recorded. And He said, if you'll be faithful over a few things, I'll make you ruler over many things. Listen, this Christmas season, let me give you something that'll just really make you a blessing and help you to receive blessing. Be faithful over what you can. How many knows coming to church is keeping the fourth commandment? Keep the Sabbath holy. Don't forsake the assembling of yourself together. And you can start there. It's a start. How many knows that he loves to spend time with us in his Word, talking to us, reading His Word, and us talking to Him, praying? You can do that every day. Just having communion with God. Be faithful over the few things, and I'll make you ruler over many. He'll come visit you. He may not send an angel, but he'll send something that you'll know. I use this phrase, he'll know in your knower that this is God, and this is what He wants me to do, and this is where I'm headed. God wants to birth something through you this season. And I'd like for you to find out what it is. And so we're going to pick up here next week and look at what it is and how He births things through people. Aren't you glad that Zach and Elizabeth and Joseph and Mary said yes? Aren't you glad they were available? Aren't you glad Mary didn't raise her hand like Laren did and said, excuse me? Huh? She had some questions, and we'll look at that. But I'm telling you, church, it is so exciting to live for God and to find your place and let Him burst something through you. It is so exciting to do that. This gift that was given to us for Christmas, and we talk about in Advent, this gift that He gave to us is just the beginning, isn't it? This is just to get us to the Father and get us in good standing and so we can walk in holiness through the finished work of Jesus Christ. But the real work begins once we become His and we just softly walk and follow the living God. I read a verse the other day, Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans I have for you, and this is God, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. That's the God you serve. Our problem sometimes is we can't tell, you know. It's hard to to gauge how effective you are. Don't you wish it was easier, like you could go home at the end of the day when you think you've done good and you think you've invested and say, there'd be a little register come up and you could say, how good did I do today? And it would, you know, register. But the thing is, there's no saying that says, the success of my day is not determined by the harvest that I reap, but the seeds that I sow. So just get up and sow a little seed every day. I close with this story. I thought it was a really cool story to talk about. When you don't really know what you're accomplishing and are you really doing anything, and we all feel that at times. Like, does anybody really care? And does it really matter? And what's the effectiveness of my ministry? And it was an immigrant shopkeeper. And he had this little shop. And one of his sons came in one day and he said, Dad, said, you know, you just... the way you run this shop, he said, you know, you got your accounts payable in a cigar box. You got your other receipts up on the spindle. And said, the cash from the store, it's in the register. He said, you know, you wouldn't even know it if you made a profit or not, the way you run this business. And the immigrant dad looked at his son. He said, "Son," he said, "your oldest brother's a doctor. Your sister is an artist, and she does very well with her art. And you're a CPA. He said, "When I came to this country, all I had was a pair of pants." He said, "What you do is you take the pair of pants and you subtract it from all this other. And me and my wife have a house. We own this shop and a car and owe nothing." He said, "So you take all of that and you subtract a pair of pants and that's the profit." Huh? Through Jesus Christ, everything you own. We were on our way to hell. You can subtract that and everything you have now, and there's your profit in the kingdom. So don't get discouraged. Just be faithful. Just be faithful. I'm excited about going to Tulsa this Friday or Saturday. Mark and Caldwell and I, we're going, and I want to give you an invitation because it goes right along with what I'm preaching. This is a little leather strip that goes on a walking stick. And at Tulsa, Oklahoma, they're going to bring about over 3,000 walking sticks to Tulsa to a farm show. And I heard about this through a guy in Canada and been talking with him, and he put me in touch with some farmers here. It's Fellowship of Christian Farmers. Adam brought some information. He's got a little flyer if you'd like. Raise your hand, Adam. And he's got a little flyer if you'd like more information, because they sent me one just like it. Got some little brochures here. This tells you what all these beads represent. The gold bead represents eternal life for the kingdom of heaven. And you give a 2-minute presentation to all these farmers, ranchers, visitors of this farm show. And he said, usually the average show, they'll give away over 3,000 sticks. He said, usually a Thursday, Friday, Saturday show, they'll give usually the sticks away by Friday. Which means over 3,000 people will hear the gospel story told and get one of these little canes and beads to have if they'll just sit down and listen. And so the black bead course represents sin. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, not one. Then the red bead represents the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for you to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. The white bead represents purity in your life after the blood of Jesus Christ. And then the green bead represents to grow in grace from this point on. You've given your life to the Lord, so go and grow in the Lord. And it gives you little scriptures here to use, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Study to show yourself approved, a workman, needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so, then at the end of this presentation, you ask them simply, is there ever a time that you ask Jesus into your heart? And some of them say yes, they said, and some of them say no. If they all say yes, you give them a cane and they go on their way. But he said, most of the time somebody will say no, and he'll say, "Well, would you like for us to lead you in a simple prayer so you can receive this today?" I said, most of the time they'll say yes. And they'll get to lead them to Christ. Mark and I are going Friday, unless there's somebody that wants to go with us that needs to wait till Saturday, and we'll wait for you and go Saturday. But we're going to go. And if you would like to do something like this, I've got 4 or 5 more of these in my office that I can give you, and you can look them over between now and then. And if you want to look it over and go with us, and you don't want to say, because you don't feel comfortable in leading somebody to Christ or giving a presentation, then you can just go and observe. But this is just one outlet, one form of ministry that our church is doing. And so if you'd like to go, maybe this is where God wants to birth your ministry. This is what He wants to birth through you. Maybe you've never led anybody to Christ, but you're like Mark that said, "You know what? I'd like to be a more effective witness." We was talking the other day, and I said, "Well, I've just got something I'll offer to you." Because I think that's a great request, isn't it? How many just like to be a more effective witness for Christ? And so I offered this to him, and he said, "Yeah, I'll go with you." And so if you're here and you want to go next Friday or Saturday, if you'll let us know, we'll wait for you. Or if you can go Friday, we'll go Friday, but that's open to you. And there's all kinds of ministry here open to you. And there's all kinds of ministry open to you in what you do and where you are. Maybe if you're a fireman, having a daily devotion with a crew. I've heard them do that. Or if you're a construction worker, you know, right out on the construction site sometime during the day, just gathering people together to pray for your country or your company or the neighborhood. You know, there's all kinds of opportunities for us to get involved in. But this I know, God wants to birth something through you. And some of us spend our whole life just kind of working and providing for our family and going through life without any kind of significant difference to somebody else's life. I heard a saying the other day, Mother Teresa said, a life not invested in others is not a life. So I just want to challenge you this year. What is it? Ask this question. God, you gave me a gift through Jesus Christ, and we're going to celebrate that this month. What is it that you gave me the gift so that I could be all that I can be? I can walk in pureness and holiness. What is it that you've created me for? As I receive this gift, I can invest back into a world that's lost and dying. Would you do that with me this season? Let's make this a year of giving of ourselves. Father, we thank you for loving us enough to say, I have a special part for you. And every time I get ready to do something extraordinary, I always use ordinary people to do ministry through. Thank you for including us. Thank you for including the elderly. Thank you for including the young and every person in between. God, if you can trust young Mary as a teenager to have and to rear your son, we know that you can trust us with great and mighty things. If we'll just be walking holiness and keep our life holy before you through the blood of Jesus Christ and just be busy about the Father's business, investing a part of our life each day in our circle of influence wherever we are. And I pray this season that every person that's in this building, under the sound of my voice, that you'll make us aware of the gifts and the talents and the abilities that you've given to us. And help us to use them and express them in a manner that's pleasing to you, so that we can be light and salt. That we can celebrate the birth every day through an optimistic attitude that we know where we're headed and we know who holds our life in His hands. The world will see in us a people of great hope. Not a people without problems, but a people right in the midst of problems that's loving and shining for Jesus. That's being light and salt right in the midst of problems and troubles. Help us, God, to find our niche. Birth through us, Lord, all the things that you desire to birth through us. Help us to say yes when you call upon us. Even though we think we may not be qualified, remind us, Lord, that you will qualify us if you call us. And help us to be yielded vessels so that those around us will know that there's a living God that dearly loves them. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're here today and you need prayer, our altars are open. And we'd invite you to come. Maybe you just need to come and say, you know what? What I need right now is I've been walking in places I shouldn't walk, and I just need the cleansing blood of Jesus. That's where we all start. That's where we all have to return once in a while. But if you have any need today, maybe you're concerned about Christmas or concerned about your health or finances, whatever it is today, if you're here and you need prayer, we have prayer warriors at the altar. They'd love to lift your needs up before the Lord. Anyone? Before we take communion today? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Okay. We're going to change the order of service, and our prayer partners may be seated. We're going to receive communion today.